Bless Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us. And it's in Jesus' name we do. Amen.
And amen. I was a little jealous that Becca gets an extra weekend with one of our little nieces. I got to wait until July to be able to see her. So those of you that have had little kids or you got grandkids, you know what that's like. So we get the opportunity to see a bunch of our nieces and nephews this summer. And at those times of life when, you know, when they're young enough, when you can enjoy those moments and get to play with them a little bit, and hopefully they remember you as you, especially since we live pretty far away from most of them. So it's a good opportunity. So I'll look forward to doing that. My mom is also happy that we're going to visit she and my dad for a week in July. And that's been one of the things that's always hard about living far away from family is missing some of those moments. And it's one of the aspects that I'm looking forward to this summer, actually having a little bit of time to just spend just going on a walk with my dad. It's important to spend time with family. We have a couple weeks, this Sunday and next Sunday, left in our series. We've been looking at some of the different phrases or commands, the one another commands, specifically in the New Testament. And when I talk with people, or sometimes people will just randomly mention things to me, one of the things that I hear fairly often is many people express a particular desire for, and myself, I would include myself in this, is to be more consistent in regular prayer. Now, for some people, you may feel a particular calling, or you have it in you that you are a natural kind of what we'd say prayer warrior. One of those people that doesn't just say thoughts and prayers, but actually prays when people bring things up to you. But for a lot of people, it is a struggle to pray consistently. Or sometimes, and I know I've done this before earlier in my life, I'm okay outsourcing it to the professionals, or who we think are the professionals. And that's what the Old Testament was all about. People coming to God through the priesthood, and then we get to the New Testament, and it says the priesthood of all believers. And Christ making this way for us to approach the throne of God directly. Any of us.
Amen.
No mediator needed. It's kind of humbling to think that we can communicate directly with the Lord God Almighty. And that not only can we, but that God wants us to communicate with him. When we look through the Bible gives us lots and lots of examples. I want to just highlight a couple this morning. Lots of regular reminders to pray. Yes, we know we are supposed to. And it also says things about asking God and then giving thanks for. Here's a few examples. Philippians 4 says, don't worry about anything. That's hard. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now, sometimes we're pretty good maybe at the asking God for stuff, but not necessarily thanking him then when we do receive. Or maybe 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read a few verses from that chapter last week. Later on in that chapter, it says, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I have sometimes found prayer, consistent prayer, difficult in my life. Seasons where I've felt perhaps a little bit further away from God, and other seasons where I've felt closer. And I don't know if it's one of those things about us as humans that when things are going well or maybe above average, slightly better than normal, it can be easier to forget the true source of our strength and our hope and our direction and our guidance and indeed our very life itself. I know this has been true for me, and I would imagine it can be true for some of you at different times. When things go sideways then, suddenly, or maybe not so suddenly, like a slow car crash in our life, prayer can be an occasionally remembered thing, or it can be a desperate measure that we invoke in a moment of panic. Kind of one of those, in case of emergency, break glass. Like, I know I have this resource here that can put out fires and do amazing things, and yet it's like, have you ever seen one of those cases in the hallway of a building? And maybe your intrusive thoughts have said, I wonder what would happen if I broke this right now. And then there's other times when there's a legitimate emergency and you might be like, am I allowed to do this? Prayer is one of those things. You are allowed, we are allowed and encouraged to use it at every opportunity.
Amen.
Not just in case of emergency.
Amen.
And yet, it can be hard at different points. Sometimes we prefer to wait for the firefighters to come because they've been trained or they're more effective. They know what to do. Like many spiritual practices, though, prayer is a necessary discipline for us. It's something we want to encourage and practice, and you don't need special training. In fact, the Bible talks many times about don't be like those performative folks on the street corners that love to hear themselves talk. It says, no, what should we do? We should go into a quiet place and offer up our heart to God. The apostles and the early Christians, they had to learn this over and over. They were in a season of this world when there was a lot of active persecution. Christians were being persecuted directly and often violently, and they had to develop a confidence and trust in God through prayer, that God actually knew what God was doing, and that in prayer, their life of faith would be energized. It would give them fuel for those moments, especially when it was difficult. We see this confidence show up in time and time again. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus actually says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Do we believe that?
Belief starts.
Now, it is a little bit more complicated than this, because James actually says, sometimes we don't get what we ask for because we haven't asked with the right intentions in our heart. And we think, oh, God must not be listening or he doesn't answer me. And James would encourage us to look at the motivations of our heart. That if our motivations are right and our hearts are aligned with God's heart, then we would ask for what God would want and it would be ours. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to what? His will, he hears us. That as long as we are seeking to be in the will of God, we could do something like, what does it say about that we could say to the mountain? Move. And the mountain would move. If that was God's will. It's kind of hard to think about in those abstract ways, though. So I wanted to ask a question and give you an opportunity for just a couple of moments to think of a time when prayer made an impact on your life. And if you're feeling bold enough to share, what was that experience like for you? When prayer had a very powerful and significant impact for you. And one of the reasons we're doing sharing like this is that it can be a great encouragement to other people and a reminder that, yes, God is indeed listening, and will answer according to his will and purposes. Anyone want to share a particular experience of prayer with them?
I know not too long after Carla and I have gotten married, we're talking about, you know, how much we didn't want to keep paying rent, and it's how it was escalating. So we're transitioning. I was in transition between job, and I had money in a 401k. I took all that money out. We had prayed about this beforehand, but we took all the money out, put it down on how she took a loan on her 401k, and that's how we happen to have a house today. But we have bathed that in prayer and said, you know, because, you know, I had all this money in this 401k, and now I'm going to do all of this. It was like, okay. And I was a new Christian, so I was kind of divided between.
So to take that step of faith.
Yes.
Prayer is what
prayer
gave you that kind
it,
of.
And it gave us the confidence this is the direction that God wanted us to go in.
Gave you the confidence that this is the direction God wanted you to go in.
But it started with prayer.
Pastor, hey, real quick story. It's not quick, of course. Yeah.
It's not quick because you?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean that in a very
So, growing up, I became a Christian, and my dad specifically, was a truck driver, a tough guy. He was a real tough guy. He didn't believe in God. He did not believe in God, but he didn't believe in God. He didn't rob banks or anything, but, you know, when I tell him about Jesus, he'd say, "Well, son, I made my peace with God a long time ago." Okay, how come you don't go to church? "Oh, I made my peace with God." And I just knew, you know. And then throughout life, life was really, really hard on my dad, and he never had a lot. And he ended up with his first open heart surgery when he was 35 years old. And I was the eldest boy, and it was kind of tough in our house because he couldn't work. And so here I was, I became a Christian, and I tell him how God loved him, and he'd say, "Yeah, that's fine." And the try to get to the point. Point is that just constant prayer and thinking, "Well, I don't know." And they got a phone call from my mom, said, "Hey, the doctors just told me your dad, he's not going to live another week." And this was all written in Clear Lake. And I said, "Well, all right." And I hung up the phone, and the Lord just right there, he said, "Go get your pastor and drive up there." And I did. I met my pastor at the time and drove up there, and he gave his heart to the Lord there in the bed. And he died 2 days later. My mom said that she could never remember him sleeping through the night until that night. He just had a peace that was different. And that's a prayer that was answered, but, you know, it certainly wasn't a prayer that, like, "Hey, you could answer this like this next week." Took a lifetime, but he never forgot, and I thank God for that. And I believe he kept my dad alive just long enough to say yes, and then brought him home. And I'm thankful to God for that, and just praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm thankful God is patient.
Oh yeah.
Probably way more patient with us than we are of other folks in our lives sometimes. Anybody else this morning? Yeah, Ezra?
Yeah, as a middle schooler, I just had a prayer that came, like I was very concerned about what girl I would eventually be with, you know, long term.
Middle school problems.
Yeah, middle school problems. It was top of mind. And I didn't know what God's plan was for me, but But I had this recurring prayer to God, say, hey, God, whoever this girl is for me, I pray that I meet her early so that I can spend as much of my life as I can.
I'll follow that up.
I'd say that happened.
I didn't grow up in a family where we went to church, and I'd say my parents were probably agnostic. When I developed a belief in God, I started praying. I had a difficult time staying interested in the same boy for more than like 5 minutes. So I started praying that if there was a guy that could maintain my interest for a really long time, I started praying that God would introduce me to him very young, because he'd have to be pretty cool. So I prayed that I'd meet him young so that I could spend as much time with him as possible. And then we found out later that we were praying the same prayer.
Wow.
And if you don't know, Ezra and I got married when I was 19 and he was 21. He was my senior prom date.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Sometimes we don't even know that God is doing a thing until in hindsight. And then we realize, oh, God was working in all of these different ways in this situation. Amazing. Anyone else this morning? Leonard, I saw you raise your hand.
I had a, someone's going to be offended by pastor in church, because they don't know I was going to say this. But I had, it was an issue about one of our kids going, getting ready to go to college, and they were needing some funds to occur in a short amount of time for them to qualify for it. And we were praying a lot, and I said, when are you going to answer, Lord? Because she needed it. And time was so short, and bottom line, this person,
that'd be me.
this person.
The funds came one day before she a cutoff date, and I thought, you heard my prayers. And she became, she lived together in college as a result of that one day, and it transformed me about God. Ruby answers.
Yeah. God can provide. Sometimes we wish it'd be a little quicker.
Yeah.
But, yes.
Always on time.
Yeah.
One day before Rebecca and I were supposed to move overseas to, as missionaries with the Covenant Church, we weren't sure if we'd be able to go because we still didn't have our visas. And we were packing up our apartment in faith. This was a time in my life where I was just really rediscovering prayer. And I remember praying a little bit before that, but I remember we got a call as I'm loading the moving van from the Spanish consulate in Chicago that said, amazingly, your visas are ready. And so I had to jump in our car and drive down and get them, because without that, that was during a time where if you didn't have that, you weren't flying for sure. And I was just so thankful to God for providing. And it for me, it was that sense of I had had a few little doubts about whether it was going to happen or not. And after that call, I was kind of convicted of that. Like, why did I doubt? Why did I have such a hard time? If this is really what God had wanted for me and for her, then I should believe that he will provide. And yet I needed that reminder that yes, he is a God of provision. When believers in the early church prayed for boldness, they indeed received power through the Holy Spirit. And yet one of the things that happened that they weren't anticipating was that God, he answers us from the center of his will and according to his purposes. And so often what God is prioritizing does not always match up with our expectations or what we would immediately hope is our desired outcome. So those early Christians, they were praying for boldness, that the Spirit would allow them to spread the gospel. And guess what? God did allow that to happen, but he also did that in a way that brought great persecution upon them. And it actually split the people apart and scattered them all over the region. And that was a terrible moment for some of them. They were feeling alone, and yet through that moment, That is how the gospel of Jesus Christ spread, through an intense period of pain. God answered them, just not fully in the way that they had expected. They thought everything was going to be nice and comfortable. But it was his will that was being done. The Apostle Paul prayed multiple times for God to remove a thorn in the flesh, yet God responds in a different way, and he says, "My grace is sufficient, and my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul had to learn that actually, because of this, which he did not like, God was made manifest even more powerfully than if God had taken that away from him. And time and again in the Old Testament, the prophets prayed for deliverance and protection for the people. Yet sometimes God answered with a word of judgment designed to turn the hearts of the people back to himself. Was God listening and hearing their prayers? Yes, he was. And he was answering them according to his will and purpose, just not in the way that they initially expected. And there's so many other examples throughout the Bible that we could look at. I really encourage you to, you could just do a study of all the different amazing prayers in the Bible. Our command is to pray for one another. Let me read one verse. James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other," or one another, "and pray on behalf of one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." This is one of the most important verses in the Bible as a reminder for us, because we are forgetful people. We live in a world that is often divided and sometimes overrun by chaotic situations. And this invitation to pray for one another, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's a reminder of this wonderful connection that Christ provides that we can have between one another. Sisters and brothers in Christ, able to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another, to pray for one another. And all of that shows our love for one another. James reminds us that when we pray for and with one another, things happen. And lives change. And healing and hope can flow, not just if you are the one praying, not just from you to the one you are praying for, but also into you as well. All these weeks, I've been highlighting the reciprocal nature of this one another command. That one another is not just from me to you, or even from you to me, but it is about we to we. It's like this chain of grace that we get to continually pass around and around and around. This is such a transformative verse. It reminds me that it is important to share my struggles. And it is important for each of us to share our struggles, not to simply hide them away and hope they are never discovered. It encourages me that we do not have to continue to walk alone or suffer in silence, but God invites us to be one. And this means we bear one another's burdens and we pray for one another. Yes, I know it's hard to share our weaknesses, yet it's also an opportunity to receive the love of Christ from one another. When we open our hearts to one another, and perhaps you've had some opportunities in your life to do this, you create space for someone else to come alongside you, someone to walk with you, someone to help you experience hope and healing in a community of faith. The word that James uses for healing in verse 16, it's a particular word for healing, and it's used to describe something beyond just physical recovery. It's a deeper kind of healing that is a deliverance in a way. It's a deliverance that is meant to restore us from sin and its consequences, both inside of us and outside of us. It's an ongoing type of healing. And this is the transformative power of why it's so important to pray for one another. Yes, God wants us to be healed in every manner. And he can do it. He can do it according to his will. It's not always on our time frame. And sometimes things are meant to remain where God intends them to, like he did with Paul. I encourage you to share your burdens so that you have the opportunity to be prayed for and to pray for one another as the Lord leads you. Now, this is hard, I said. And sometimes it takes a little bit of sensitivity. That might be how I would put it. Some of us have been burned at times in the past. People have harmed us or wounded us, and so it can be really hard to trust another person. It doesn't mean that we bear our whole soul to every single person. That would be insane and probably impossible. But there might be that one person in your life that God is putting onto your heart to reach out to, or that one person that you are called or feeling compelled to offer prayer for. It may be something that they never know. Maybe God is just calling you to pray for them today, whether they are aware of it or not. When we share our burdens with one another and pray for and with one another, something amazing happens. The power of sin in our life and upon our life, it begins to lose its grip and its hold on us. And in this, we find the courage to face God and continue on in this world. It says the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. It doesn't say that you indeed are powerful in your own right. It says your prayers to God are powerful and effective because you are in a right state with God, and it is not our power but his at work when we pray. It is not something that we can force. We don't get to force or decide healing or what kind of measure of healing God grants. That is for him alone. This should motivate us to pray even more, my friends. We all need the power of God in our lives. We need his healing presence in and with us. Maybe you still find yourself struggling at times to pray. Maybe you feel unskilled or unworthy that it's going to make any kind of difference. Let me read two more verses for us, and then we'll close. James actually gives them an example, because he was speaking to groups of people that were going through some really difficult things. And sometimes in the midst of difficulties, you need that reminder that, yeah, God is still at work. So he uses perhaps one of the strongest examples in the Bible. He talks about the example of Elijah, who we hold up as a giant of faith. And this is what James says. He says, Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Yes, Elijah was a prophet. He was a giant of faith, and yet he was also human. And he struggled with his own sense of calling at times. He suffered from depression. He wanted to die. And yet in this moment when he was called to pray, he prayed so with an earnest heart. And God responded to that. His heartfelt prayers led to something unexpected and great. Not because he was so great, but because God was and is great. Friends, that same power is available today. You may feel unworthy or unsure that it will make any difference in your life or in the world, but the encouragement is to continue to pray earnestly, intentionally from your heart, because God works best through our humble willingness and our open hearts. If there's someone coming to your mind today, don't wait. God is putting them on your heart for a reason. Perhaps you may be the only lifeline that person has Or maybe it's the flip for you. Maybe God is putting someone on your heart to reach out to share something that is going on for you. Whatever the case may be, trust this. This is holy work that God is calling you to, whether it is to pray for or to receive prayer. My hope and prayer is that we would strive always to be a community of prayer, willing to pray with and for one another, trusting that God indeed hears and will respond according to his will. And together in this, this is how we tangibly live out our calling to love one another. This is a kind of love and support that the world desperately needs more and more. So friends, let's pray. God, I thank you so much for all of the different examples you provide in your word. I thank you for all of the different examples, the prayers, the styles, the encouragement, the command, all of it. Because you so desperately want to communicate with us and you want us to communicate with you. God, I thank you for making a way that we can talk to you directly. I want to pray for anyone here this morning that if there is something burdening their heart, that you would give them the courage to reach out to even one other person. And Lord, if your spirit is putting a name, maybe it's a friend or a loved one or someone else that you know, if you are putting a name on our heart, God, will you allow us the time and space to heartfully, earnestly pray for them today? Do not let us delay, O Lord. May your will be done, for the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I'm going to send us
one of my favorite verses from Ephesians 3. It says, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Church, may God bless you and grant you his peace this week. I hope you have a great week. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. All right. God bless.